Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Let's get to Keith as we start hour two. Thank you, Keith, for going to the break. You got an NBA question? What is it?
Hey, Dale, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Hey, Dale, you teased it right before the break about the star point guard opting out of the deal, Trae Young. It's, you know, a lot of people are saying that he'll re-sign with the Wizards for, you know, big-time money, but what's stopping some other teams that desperately need a scoring point guard with veteran, you know, veteran experience, veteran player, like the Suns, the Heat, the Kings, even the Rockets? You know, they had no point guard last year. Like the Brooklyn Nets, there's some really point guard desperate needy teams that could they maybe backdoor and steal Trae Young from the Wizards, because he's a very good player. He gave the Knicks fits back in 2021 pre-Brunson. You know, led them to an Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, they got also the Bucks. But, you know, what's stopping that team from maybe, you know, swiping Trae Young away from the Wizards?
Generally, these things are already done and dusted before we hear about it. So could a team come over the top and outbid the Wizards for Trae Young? Because I believe after opting out, he'll sign like a 3-year deal for whatever the money will be. I guess a team could go, you know what, Trae, we're going to give you this. The problem for the Rockets, as you mentioned, is if you want to call it that, with Trae Young opting out of his deal, now he's just a free agent. The Rockets ain't got no money.
Yeah.
They got no money to pay Trae Young. It would have to be a sign and trade. If he was going to be a Rocket, he would have needed to opt it in.
Like Chris Paul back in 2017. That's how they did that with Chris Paul, where he could have been a free agent. Instead, he opted in and got traded to the Rockets.
Yeah. The Rockets would have had to say, hey, Wizards, Trae, yeah, we got a deal sitting for you here with an extension that, wink, wink, that we can't really wink, wink, because the NBA doesn't like that, but it's a wink, wink deal for you. We got assets that you might like. Let's make a trade. But since Trae Young is opted out, he now can only be a guy who signs with a team with cap space.
Yes.
And that's what the Wizards have, and that's what they're going to do. Because, although it was reported, hey, Trae could listen to other offers, like from the Nets, I guess, who have money. There's some other teams with money. The Rockets are not one of those teams.
No. And apparently there's – and the Suns, another team you mentioned, like super can't do that. It is interesting with like the Nets, Bulls, mostly those two teams, because they are two teams that are kind of going nowhere super fast. They have some young pieces, but not anything that you're like, this team has a great young future. And with the new tanking rules or anti-tanking rules, like, maybe they do just like spend some money and they're like, hey, who cares if we win 38 games? Like, that gives us the same amount of ping pong balls as winning, you know, 28. So let's try to get Trae Young. Like, that's the only like real way I see. And if I'm Trae Young, if his agent, I'm leaking out there that, yeah, you know, the Nets, you know, they have a lot of room. Maybe I go there. But I think you have it right, Dell, where it's like a lot of times, like, by honestly, by June 18th, a lot of the moves that get signed on June 30th, or a lot of the machinations are kind of already being worked out right now. It's just, you know, can't be official for another 2 weeks.
Yeah, because if you look at Trae Young's option, it's over $48 million. Trae Young's not opting out of that unless he knows there's a lucrative multi-year deal waiting for him. And to Sean's point, his agent Trey would have known, whether it be the Wizards or someone else. They've already figured this out. I'm sure it allows the Wizards to get him in at a lower cap number, but to give him more years for his willingness to not be paid nearly $49 million in the final year of his deal. So Trey Young will not be a Rocket. Even if they had cap space, I don't think Trey Young's a Rocket. He doesn't fit what they – he doesn't fit the type of player I think the Rockets value. A bad defending – a bad defender who's a small guard who is best when the ball's in his hands at all time. I don't even know what the league thinks of Trey Young. There's a reason he's a Wizard, honestly.
Yeah, and he's that's why I mentioned like the Nets and – I mean, the Wizards, the Bulls, as these teams where it's like this Trae Young stuff, like, doesn't really work in this NBA. You know, I guess Brunson kind of proved it. But Brunson's, like, stout and, like, will do this crazy thing called a work hard on defense.
Sure.
It's a crazy concept that he does. Not everyone can pull it off. And that's why Trae Young's more interesting almost in the, like, hey, it doesn't matter if you win 19 games anymore. Like, there's no need to win 19 games to get a good lottery pick. Like, just bring in Trae Young, win 30, have your fans be happy. When, I mean, even Trae Young can get you to mid-30s. Like, hey, have your fans leave the arena a little bit happier, and you still have the, whatever, 9% chance to get the number one pick that you would have had if you don't sign him. Like, who cares? Just sign him. But as far as, like, actually getting over the hump, like, I don't know. I always think it's funny when Trae Young gets brought up. It's like, well, 2021. It's like, so the one time 5 years ago, pre-Brunson.
Yeah, against the Knicks team who didn't have Brunson.
Completely different Knicks team.
Yeah, yeah. It has been a while since he's been an impactful player for a winner. And you have to go back to 2021. It had Trae Young talking about in a podcast how he had wished he had put on an ankle brace or shot it up to play. Because remember, they were playing the Bucks in the conference finals, and he was banged up, and I don't think he played in the back half of that series. And then I think he mentioned that they had maybe either handled Phoenix or played well against Phoenix that year, and he thought he could have gone his Hawks team could have gone on and won a title if they could have gotten through the Bucks. He listened to his agent and others who told him he needed to sit out, and the Hawks and Trae Young have not done any real winning since that point. So a missed opportunity there. And now it looks like he's going to get a multi-year deal at pretty good money from the Wizards. And the Wizards still have Anthony Davis. They have a top pick in the draft. They have young players they like. We'll see if they actually become a competent member of NBA society when they decide to hoop in this upcoming season.
It's going to be so, so nasty. It's going to make last season seem even more unethical for the Wizards and Jazz. That's like, you had, what, 75% of this roster already on your team? Now you're just, oh, we'll just actually play them.
Yeah.
we'll actually just play them. Or not, you know, if the Wizards go up against a big man who, let's say, scores, you know, 20 points in the first quarter. Like, oh, maybe we should start doubling them.
Nah. We got our number one pick. It's time to start winning it. Yeah, the Jazz like have now the same approach. They didn't get the number one pick, but their approach is the same. Now it's time to start winning basketball games.
Yeah, it's like,
we traded for Jaren Jackson, Keontae George, who we don't want to give a max extension to until he proves it. Same for Walker Kessler. So they have a couple young guys who are max extension eligible that they're not looking to give money to. Apparently, Walker Kessler turned down a $40 million deal over 5 years. He's like, hey, I'm worth more than that. You're insulting me. They're like, we'll see about that. Okay. We'll see about that. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just thought that he was upset, you know, that there was some discord there. I didn't know that.
It was 140 over five, and he didn't like the offer.
Whoa, okay. So all right.
So he didn't like the thought of $28 million per year.
No. Why would you?
It's insulting to Walker Kessler.
To Walker Kessler.
Yeah.
Again, a guy who's played, I don't want to say zero NBA games that have ever like had stakes to him.
Sure, there was an NBA Cup game he played in.
Yeah, but he's played, I'll say, less than double digits of games that had serious stakes.
By the way, if you're asking, hey, Walker Kessler's pretty good at Auburn. Why are the Jazz so uninterested in giving him the money he wants? He played 5 games last year. Coming off a 5 game season, he wants more money than 28 per year as a guy who's wouldn't even would he even be their I guess if they want to play their,
yeah,
play big, center. It would be Jackson at the 4, Markkanen at the 3. Yeah. And Kessler as their starting center.
And then whoever you draft. Or if you draft Peterson.
Keontae George and Darren Peterson, maybe. Yeah. Which is a pretty talented roster. So the Jazz want to start winning now. Well, they just may have a couple of disgruntled young players because they can't agree with Keontae George either. He thinks he's worth a certain amount, which is the max rookie extension. The Jazz would like to see it for another year before they give it to him.
This guy averages 9-9.
Over his career, yeah. But he was 14-10 in those 5 games last year, Sean.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Career high in points per game.
Yeah, never played more than 75 games in a season. Some of that has to do with the Jazz not wanting him to play because they want to be bad. But, hey, 28 is an insulting number for me. Give me more. And the Jazz are like, have you seen yourself? Do you know? But we'll see if he's impactful on winning this year when they're actually trying now that they secured the number 2 pick in the draft. So, it was nasty with the Jazz. Certainly the Jazz were up to when they were leading games in the fourth quarter and pulled all their best players. The Wizards were a different type of nastiness. At least it was more ethical. They just didn't play guys to start.
Yeah, yeah. They were just like, we'll say these guys are hurt and then sign the worst G League guys we can imagine.
The Jazz were just playing in everyone's face. Look, we're actually pretty competitive, but we're too competitive, so sit down. Now that stuff's out the window, partly because of the new changes with the lottery, but also they both secured the pick in the best draft in years, 1 and 2. So now it's time to go out and try to win ball games. We'll see how that plays out for them. The Rockets are in a different tier, whether it be with what they think they can be and also with their contracts, except for Tarisson. That's the guy who was apparently insulted by a deal, maybe in the same mold. I don't even think they're offering what the Jazz are offering Walker Kessler, honestly.
That's why I'm so shocked.
There's no chance that Tari Eason was being offered $28 million a year.
Tari Eason, I think it was around $100 million, but it wasn't $140 million.
Yeah, Walker Kessler. What are you doing? But maybe he'll be right.
Sure. Maybe.
I feel like he's wrong on this one, but we'll see how it plays out. All right, we'll go to break. Sean, I need you to think about a couple things. First, we're going to play why the Australians really don't like American soccer fans and their pundits. Mike Grella, who is a former soccer player, now a pundit on CBS, has given them a lot of motivation. The U.S. players haven't. They haven't talked in any insulting terms about Australia, but this guy has. We'll hear from him when we come back. But also, consider this, Sean. What type of person are you? Your friends were at a World Cup match, and they took pictures of Ronaldo when he was warming up. That's fine with me. There's not a lot going on. You want to take a picture of your favorite player? Cool. But are you someone who, when live action is going on, instead of watching through your own human eyes, you're watching through your camera? What type of person are you? What type of person are your friends? Like, if Ronaldo was taking a penalty kick, it feels like your friends are pulling out the camera phones.
For sure.
And locking in.
Might get hit with the ball.
Well, considering how he's playing, that ball may fly over the net. So what type of person are you guys? Listen, are you a person who's going to watch it through your hot eyes or through the camera you pulled out to capture a moment that you don't want to experience for yourself? We'll talk about that and also what Mike Grill is doing to make the U.S.'s job harder against the Socceroos. We'll do that when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we're a little over 24 hours away from the U.S. playing Australia in their second group stage game. You can join us tomorrow. The entire station will be at East River 9 for our soccer watch party. You can come watch Team USA with us at Birdie's Ice House. Starting at 10 a.m., you can register to win a $500 gift certificate to Republic Boot Company. Just find our promo team so you can enter your for your chance to win. The winner will be announced at 5:30, and the winner will not have to be present at the time of the drawing. So that's all going on starting at 7 a.m. That's when we start broadcasting from Birdie's Ice House at East River 9. So the U.S. play at 2. Australians are motivated, more so than maybe normal. You're playing in the World Cup. That's motivation enough. But Australian fans, their pundits, their players are sick of hearing about what the U.S. is going to do to them. Not from U.S. players, but from our own pundits and also fans. Apparently, this is a mismatch. Now, the odds say it is. And you'll hear that mention, I believe, in this clip. This is Mike Grella. He is a pundit for CBS Sports. He has been talking about how trash Australia is since before the tournament started. I think it started when the group stage participants were announced. Now, he was wrong about them against Tunisia, and I think I may have cut it off after he acknowledged that. But here is Mike Grella on Pat McAfee. And now, if you watch tomorrow and hear about how motivated the Australians are, this is the reason why.
Australia were 5-1 underdogs against Turkey. Turkey was predicted to win the group. They're a very good team. They've got players who play for Juventus, Real Madrid. They've got some unbelievable players. They caused an upset against Turkey. They had 20% possession of the ball, which is not much. They conceded 30 shots, which is a ridiculous amount, but they went on to win. I was going to come on here originally and say some nice stuff about them, but now the fan base has gone a little too far, and you know, started this conversation. It was birthed about the football, and the messages I'm getting from the Australia fan base is about the country, about us as a country, about the U.S., and about how it sucks in all these different categories. So, you know, really, it's been unbelievable. They wear a yellow shirt. I think that maybe they're getting themselves confused with Brazil or another team that's won something in the past. They've never won anything. I know I look up what Australians are good at. I see cricket. I see rugby, maybe the Outback. I mean, I'm sure they got some wild safaris out there.
Break dance.
But yep. On Friday, I think they're going to come into a team that it's a little bit more their time, that has a little bit more quality, like I've said before. And I think that we'll see a U.S. win. I got to tell you something, Pat. I've played with Australian guys in the past. There's been some legends of the game that are Australian. I love Australians. I don't think I've ever met a soft Australian. They're tough, right? They've got a game that's called Aussie Rules that is incredibly physical. But I'll tell you one thing: they are. It's insecure. It's insecure about football, and it's insecure about Friday night, because I think they're in for a rude awakening. I think there's going to be a massive reality check in this game. I mean, the odds tell you everything you need to know. They're 4.5-1 underdogs.
So I said before it was Tunisia, I think. It is Turkey. They beat Turkey's in the group. Turkey was considered one of the, if not the U.S. winning the group, Turkey was the other real contender for that. But Turkey did get beat by Australia 2-0, and now the Australians are out to get us, thanks to Mike Grella and others. So it is a moment the Australians are waiting for. I think Mike Grella called this a layup when the group was announced. He's called this a layup. The Australians didn't take that kindly, as you might imagine. So the players know about it. The fans, their own pundits know about it. They're waiting. They're just waiting for a potential Australia win to unleash all hell on that guy and others who have insulted the great Socceroos. I do think they wear a yellow shirt, so they think their Brazil line is pretty funny.
That's good.
But if you watch Brazil play, they're not that different.
Oh, I...
The current Brazil, at least.
Yeah, on Saturday, because, you know, the emotional high of Friday night, and then Saturday, sitting down, really locking in on Brazil, I'm like,
we got these guys.
The U.S. better than Brazil.
Yeah.
I get that they're playing Morocco.
Yeah, who's a good soccer playing
still,
side as well.
You can still play well.
Yeah.
And they did not do that. That's still possible.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I like this.
I don't. Look.
Mike Grella's mouth writing checks
that Sebastian Berhalter might have to cash if Pulisic isn't available. Yeah. So, and then you throw in, as I mentioned, that Pulisic is is struggling with an injury. He's day to day. He hasn't, at least from when the cameras are on. Well, if they're a layup, who cares? Why you got to play him? If you go by what the cameras have been able to see, the most he's done is individual work. Now, when they leave, I don't know if this is subterfuge, and then when they're gone, he's out there practicing with the team. Mm-hmm. But from what we've seen, he's only been able to do individual work. At least that's what he did yesterday after spending the previous couple of days just doing cardio in the gym they set up there for him. So we'll see if Pulisic is ready to go. Grilla, I'm not comfortable being in a position where we're the favorites. I'm really not comfortable having a guy talk for all of us and insult an entire nation. In fact, the continent, actually. So not just the nation, the entire continent. So I hope he's right. I hope that this U.S. team and what we saw last Friday is just a preview of what's to come in this World Cup, where we're able to score goals against teams who aren't as talented as us. I've talked about Australia. They got some speed up front. I do believe the U.S. will have a lot of the ball as Australia sits the counterattack. We will see if we can take advantage of our opportunities and are able to mitigate some of that Australian speed if they try to counter. But, Grella, you have put us squarely in the sights of the Socceroos and their fans. Let's just hope you're right. That's all.
Yeah, this really feels like it's similar. I mean, we always compare things to college football here, but it really does feel like a team that has been down for a while and then started the season 6-0, and it's like, oh, the hype meter is just all the way back at 10, where it's just like, oh, now we're going to – and let me tell you one more thing, Australia. And, like, I just the – that part of my brain is like, I don't know. I'm almost ready for like a dud to be laid.
Sean, you're talking to something really close to my heart.
Oh yeah.
Is Australia Louisville? Is Australia SMU?
And you know, U.S. soccer being Miami football is not, you know.
Well, they were in the little our version of a preview, we read off that they're compared to Texas.
Texas basketball.
Yeah, Texas basketball. So we will see about that. I would just hope that he's right and we are just simply more talented, and with Pochettino, an actual real manager in charge, the team will show those talents against an Australian squad who's pretty game for the moment.
The Pentagon
The Pochagon is what they're calling it.
Whoa.
They're calling it the Pochettino.
That see, I believe in our country. We can still make things like great nicknames.
Sure.
I would like them to make one for the entire team instead of USMNT. But yeah,
they fail in that regard so far.
Yes. But I like the Pochettino.
Yes.
And I just can't imagine there being a high to the level of what the what last Friday was, where it's like, it just feels like there has to be a come down. And even if they still win, it will be like 2-1. And it's like,
because we had never seen what it was against Paraguay when they
it'd be unfair for that to be the bar.
Yeah. We can't hold them to that.
Grella.
It was a great start and it gave people some excitement, but Grella was talking that trash about Australia before the group games.
He just thinks they suck.
Yeah, he doesn't think much of them. So
this actually isn't so much pro US. This is more just like
Australia
they
stinks.
Suck.
I think we're fine, but Australia's so bad, we're gonna handle them. We'll see if he's right. Yeah, to your point, 4-1 to open has set a bar that maybe a lot of US fans who are just like the Rob Lowe's who are there. The Tom Cruise is now they're that version, but not famous, but just casual fans are going to walk in to, or at least walk into their local watch party or sit down for the match and go, hey, how come we don't have two goals 30 minutes in? That was so unique. The fact that we were so offensively on the front foot and kept attacking, and Paraguay wasn't ready for it. We'll see if the Socceroos are ready for it. I hope we are as entertaining and offensively minded as we were, because that just is more exciting soccer or football. And if it leads to goals, great. It was such a breath of fresh air. It was a perfect start. It got everyone excited. I'll take a 1-0 victory. I'll take it, because that's more in line with what a World Cup campaign can be like.
I mean, really, I'm just scrolling the scores from this tournament, and I think Jerry called in earlier talking about this, where like other than Germany going 7-1, I guess Sweden against who'd they play?
Curacao.
Sweden against Tunisia 5-1. Like 4-1 is the biggest beatdown. Like the U.S. are authors of the biggest beatdown of this, or the third biggest beatdown this tournament. There's 3-0, 4-1 Norway, I guess.
Yeah, so you've had as the...
But like, a lot of these games have been very competitive.
Yeah, even England, of course, England had a great second half to win 4-2, but in that first half, it was 2-2 against Croatia. Now, Australia isn't at the level of Croatia, I believe. We'll see going forward. But we don't have the firepower coming off the bench that England does. When they can sub in Marcus Rashford and Bukayo Saka, and I guess Morgan Rogers as well, to team up with Harry Kane and others and Ollie Watkins.
I mean,
I like Balogun. Pepe and Haji Wright are the best strike force we've ever had in the World Cup. We saw Balogun in his debut. We ain't the English. We don't have that type of firepower coming
we're
off.
We're good. We got Sebastian Berhalter. We're good. Gio Reyna. That's who we got coming.
He
off
did score bench. A spectacular goal. Just don't ask him to run. Which seems to be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, no, that can be an issue in soccer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm cautious. I'm very cautious.
I'm optimistic.
I've seen this before.
Well, I'm optimistic because we have our best manager, and the team played at a level that I had not seen, at least offensively. But it's only one match.
I just feel like everyone's going to bet on you. Like, it's going to be one of those things where you see the tweet where it's like 95% of bettors have U.S. like whatever -2.5 or something.
I would love to be. I think they'll win or at least get the result that they need, which even points, any points would be cool considering you started out with the win. And they're up in Seattle. It'll be a large U.S. fan base, and they'll be, I don't know if it'll be as exciting of a match, or even the crowd would be at. I think actually the Seattle crowd would be great, to be honest with you, more so than I thought the LA crowd would be, and they showed out as well. So I think we'll be fine as far as atmosphere. Does the play on the field match the expectation? That's up for debate, and that'll happen tomorrow up in Seattle where the Seahawks play. Mike Rella, I pray that you're right, mostly for your own well-being, because if you're wrong, an entire continent, Australia's a country. But it sounds even worse for him if an entire continent's on his ass, which could be the case if Australia wins that match. Hell, even if they tie, I think they'll be at his throat.
I was thinking that as you were saying, like, on just any result, like getting a result, getting some points or a point would be good. And I was thinking, like, honestly, a draw might not be enough. That's where we're at.
Just not for him.
For hype meter.
Yeah.
Hype meter wise and for Grella wise, I think they need a win, and they probably need to win. I won't say like by a lot, but just win comfortably.
Yeah,
like
a two-goal win or something. Yeah. Yeah, to keep people.
They're never in doubt. You know, it's not. I mean, it's not England, Croatia, where even, you know, the second half makes it. At least for me, I thought like, oh, this is kind of you can kind of cruise through this one. I was like, I forgot that 45 minutes ago it was 2-2, and they're talking about how late England was to walk onto the field.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And apparently, whatever was said, Thomas Tuchel talked about, hey, we fell into a back seven to close out the first half, and we still gave up a goal, so we're just going to attack. And Jude Bellingham got them off to a great start in the second half, and then Rashford put it away. I think, or at least I hope, the soccer fan in this country is mature enough to know that a 1-0 victory is just as good in a tournament where all you're trying to do is advance. I imagine Good Morning America won't treat it the same, and all the shows that normally don't talk about soccer, who talked about the 4-1 win, won't treat it the same. But for the fan who cares about the team and their chances in this tournament, no. You get out of there with the 1-0 win, you're into the second round, and you go into your final group stage with a chance. Actually, depending on the result in the other matchup, you could have won the group by the time your game is over, or at least by the time the day is over. So that's why I don't really care how it looks. Particularly if they're playing the way, at least offensively, where they're attacking all those things. But if you win 1-0, you're likely going to be the group winner, which means you're facing a third-place team in the round of 32, which means you have a real shot to have a pretty nice run. But although it started on Friday, it really gets going tomorrow. And it may determine this team's fate the rest of the tournament if they can get this win. All right, we'll go to break. Also, actually, before we do that, Art chimed in on the having the camera up when you're watching a sporting event. He hates it with a passion. People who pull out cameras to video live event, sports and concerts, the actual people are right there. It's all happening right in front of you. Why aren't you watching it? And then you're blocking my sight. I'm not a pull the camera out and film a moment. It happens. Not everyone, but a lot of people do it. It was happening during the finals. When the Knicks were on the verge of winning a thing, you saw Knicks fans pull their phones out. I'm like, you know what? Unless you're Ben Stiller, who's making a doc, turns out that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Who's that for? I guess your social media to say you were there.
Yeah.
It's just not my thing. I understand it. It's not something I would ever do.
Yeah. I normally when I go to a game, like I'll try to get something, you know,
Before I'll take pictures, but as the game's going on, if it's a game I care about, I'm actually too nervous to even consider anything but what's going on the field or the court.
Yeah, I can't. Like, for a big moment like that, it's just not part of my... It just doesn't come into my brain better record this.
That's what it is for me. But other people are different, I'm sure. Your badly shot 30 seconds of OG Anunoby missing another free throw.
From the 200 section.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll go over well with whoever you're showing it to. We'll go to break with that. We've got once we get back, it'll be less than 20 minutes, but you get it. We're closing out the show. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. We do have a score in the Czech Republic-South Africa game or match. 1-0. The Czechs scored very early, and South Africa trying to keep the World Cup alive. They need to get at least a point here, but the World Cup has begun again as far as the matches today. The Czechs, who need to win themselves after losing to South Korea, up 1-0. We'll go to break. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
So the big college football news of the week was the information we got that Brendan Sorsby, is not going to play at Tech. He's going to try to enter the supplemental draft. I say try because you have to be ineligible to enter as far as college football is concerned, to enter the supplemental draft. And Sorsby won the ability to play, but then Tech back down because they are in for a suit from the Big 12 that they believe they could not win. So Sorsby and Tech came to an agreement, or just Tech told Sorsby, hey, we tried. You can keep the money we've paid you so far, but you're not playing for us because we don't like what could come down on the other side if we keep fighting this. So he is trying to enter the supplemental draft. We'll see how that goes. His representatives are out in full force doing interviews. His agent told... And that's it. He told on Cincinnati. He said, hey, they knew of his problems, and they still let him play anyway. So if anyone's to blame for all this, it's the Cincinnati Bearcats.
Teacher.
Yeah.
They did it too.
They were aware. So if you're coming at my guy, he didn't actually say my guy. I'm just thinking of the lawyer from yesterday who said my guy. If you're coming after Sorsby, you need to talk to Cincinnati because they knew, and they didn't do anything to stop it. They kept letting him play. So that was his agent. Now his lawyer is doing the rounds, and he joined the Ringer tailgate. And he's pushing back on the thought that Sorsby can't enter the supplemental draft. So here is Sorsby's agent, and let me get his name. I'll have that for you on the other side. Here's Sorsby's agent discussing why his client is eligible.
Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk reported yesterday that you're working to ensure the NFL doesn't attempt to prevent him from entering the supplemental draft because he's not necessarily been deemed eligible for that. So what?
Yeah, he's eligible. Let me be very clear about that. Okay. I've been in contact with the NFL. They have raised no objection to his eligibility, period. That's another media fantasy. Okay. It has not been raised. They sent us the application, and the application has been submitted. And we've had no indication that they have any objection. You know why? Because he's never violated an NFL rule in his history, right? The NFL has rules. You violate them, you have issues. There is no issue about him violating an NFL rule, period. So thank you. Give me an opportunity to say, media, do your job. Stop making up this crap. Including Mike Florio, who I know.
That was Brendan Sorsby's agent, Jeffrey Kessler, coming out strong on the thought that his client is not eligible. He says he did not break any NFL rules. I mean, if he was playing in the NFL at the time, he would have broken NFL rules.
Calvin Ridley was like, what?
What? Now, the rules, well, he wasn't under the jurisdiction of the NFL at the time, so he's right in that regard. Like, if you break a rule in a different country, it wasn't a U.S. law, even though if he had done it in the U.S., it may have broken U.S. law. Now, I don't know how the terms of extradition work in this regard, but if that's the standard, then I guess he could be eligible. Except Sorsby is also going through the process of removing, I don't know the exact legalese, but the suit that he filed to be eligible, he just wants to take it back. He wants to be deemed ineligible, so there's no question about whether he can enter the supplemental draft. So it isn't as simple as what Mr. Kessler is saying. They are going through the process of trying to be deemed ineligible so he can into the supplemental draft, and then it becomes a question of what team is willing to give up anything for him and how high of a claim do they want to make, because it affects their draft haul or their draft pick haul in the upcoming regular draft.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of, you know, the Sorsby side painting it a little bit rosy, but I do think he'll be in. I always thought that was a little bit of, like, I get that it is a step that needs to be made, but I think it's a step that we can all assume that they don't do, like, the Sorsby camp doesn't do this without already, like he's saying, talking to the NFL to, like, make, there's no way that's like, wait, actually Sorsby withdraws his lawsuit from against the NCAA. He's now ineligible under the NCAA, and he goes to the NFL, and the NFL is like, no, can't enter the supplement. Like, that's just not, like, believable to me that that would happen.
I do wonder what the NFL will require of him, considering his issue is one that if it manifested itself while he's an NFL player, it's going to cause them real problems, because he has already set a precedent for gambling on games that his own team is involved in. Even if he's not playing in them, they will have known that this is a problem for him, and they still had no objections to him being in their league. So they have reason to question the process as far as Sorsby is concerned and where he stands as far as what has been deemed an addiction. So while I kind of agree that they don't do this, although there are some ways they're saying tech blindsided them, because it was positioned as, hey, mutual. But as of Monday, Sorsby was telling people, I'm going to play at Tech. And then Tech got that lawsuit, and all of a sudden now he's not playing at Tech. So I don't believe at all that this was not brought on by anyone but Tech. I don't think Sorsby was looking to go to the NFL. I think he had a spot with Texas Tech, and he thought he was going to play until Tech got scared. So once they got scared, he had to do what's best for him, and that is try to be eligible for the NFL draft or the supplemental draft while being ineligible for college football. So that'll be a tough look if this reoccurs. I wonder what the NFL will require. Because if we go back, and you've mentioned it, Sean, that when Terrell Pryor had the tattoo issues, trading tattoos for memorabilia and all that stuff when he was at Ohio State, the NFL honored the ruling by the NCAA and suspended Terrell Pryor for games. The NCAA/the Big 12 wanted Sorsby ineligible. The NFL is not going to rule Flores be ineligible for time, for all time, but do they hit him with a, hey, you did something wrong, even though you didn't do it while you're an NFL player, since they've already set a precedent of being willing to do it? That'll be the question going forward for Soresby. And not that he would be a guy who would play in year one anyway, so you can hit him with that suspension, and would it really affect him? He's like, by the time, once the supplemental draft rolls around, he's already missed a substantial part of the NFL offseason. So if some team does put in a claim for him and wants to use a pick on him, it's a redshirt year anyway. So how much would that suspension, it's costing you salary, but how much would that suspension actually affect his development? I don't know that it would be that much, unless it's one of those things where he can't even be around the team. You're not even allowed at the facility. That might be something that hampers him. But it seems like an easy thing for the NFL to say, hey, we're tough on gambling, and hit him with an 8-game suspension when he wasn't even going to play this year anyway. So that is yet to be determined. But shout out to Jeffrey Kessler for name dropping Mike Florio and telling everyone to do their jobs.
I do love it when Mike Florio catches a drive-by on.
They're both lawyers, so I'm sure Mike Florio may have some things to say about Jeffrey Kessler on his show or in a hastily written article on ProFootballTalk.com.
Haphazardly written.
I didn't say haphazardly. I said hastily. You're suggesting that hastily means there's a negative connotation, and you'd be right.
I caught that.
You caught that. Maybe Florio's going to catch it again from Kessler before this is all over. That music means we're done for the day. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what's that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
Maybe Rich Eisen can answer that question. He's up next, followed by Jeremy and Joe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.